Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Here to Listen podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Durge, and today I have three very special guests coming to us from down under, all the way in the Gold Coast, Australia. Tyler, Braxton, and Calum are the trio that make up the band Dazed. You're so free, but you're so more than 20 million streams across their catalog of songs, fans worldwide have fallen in love with their vibey indie pop sound, myself included. Please welcome to the show, Dazed. Hi, guys.
Hey, Ryan. Thanks for having us, man.
I've never had that. The applause. That's pretty nice.
We like to hype ourselves up, you know.
Thanks so much for joining me. I know that it's early in the morning there and it's late at night here. That's just the way that the time zones work, but I'm glad that we can make it work. And again, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, man.
So I'll start off, you know, why do you guys feel that so many people have resonated with your music?
I'd say that people relate to our music because our lyrics really delve into introspection and anxiety, finding purpose in life and meaning within life and stuff like that. And I think that we've never really articulated that before to ourselves, but I think that actually is the reason people can relate to our music and stuff. And I think that the sound and stuff just sort of evokes that even more, that sort of dreaminess that comes through our production and stuff like that.
It's very chill. It has this unique sound to it. And I can hear that there's influences there of probably other acts too, but it's also totally your own and it works. And you know, I'm curious how the three of you came together and formed.
I'll let Brax do this one because we met together first, but I'm curious to hear what Brax says.
So the story how Dazed came together is that me and Tyler, we met in high school. It was a seating plan in year 9 by Mr. Roland. So yeah, we got sat next to each other and we hit it off talking about Skyrim and all this cool nerdy stuff. And then I met Callum in uni, and it was actually funny because we were like sitting in between, this girl was sitting in between us, and she was like asking Callum questions, and then he was like saying, she was like, oh, like what kind of artists do you listen to? And he was like naming artists that like I would listen to. And I'm like, oh yeah, cool, like sort of nodding behind her. He sort of noticed, and then we just started chatting like through her. It was kind of funny. So that's how we met. And then I brought these two together. I was like, hey man, like my friend Tyler, let's like record a song for like a uni assignment. And then yeah, ever since then it just sort of clicked.
Have you ever seen that girl since? Like whatever happened to her?
I did a few assignments with her. I think I made a few songs with her. She was great, like, but definitely loved her pop music, which at that time I was definitely leaning towards, you know, indie music and such. But through uni, I sort of actually developed an admiration for like pop music. And I think we've actually taken that on a little bit as well. But I believe she lives in Sydney now. I'm not actually sure if she's still making music, but yeah, we met a lot of interesting characters in that course.
Yeah.
well shout out to her, shout out to Mr. Roland as well. It's just interesting how the world works and how it brought you three together, right?
Yeah it really is. Yeah, everything happens for a reason.
I wanted to ask also about filming your first music video for Butterfly, and I love that music video. It's so fun. What was that like, getting on a music video set for the first time?
Well, we've worked with the director of the video, Dom Gould. He'd been taking press photos for us for a while before that, so we were kind of familiar with him, and he does a lot of music videos, which we love. So yeah, we met up with him, we kind of voiced our ideas, like the vibe we were going for, and we sat down and we kind of just came up with a plan, kind of exploring different parts of the Gold Coast. So everything in that music video is just like different locations on the Gold Coast, and I feel like it really showcases like how vast and different the locations in the Gold Coast are. Like you can go to the hinterland and then you can go to the mountains. Yeah, it was really cool. So we just wanted to like make it feel really free and open, and like we were traveling around like a butterfly, I suppose. It's probably the inspiration. But yeah, it was definitely an interesting experience. Like I guess we're in photo shoots, we've been posing and like kind of getting used to that whole side of the music industry or the entertainment industry. But I think it's different, like having to act in front of a camera. Like it may not seem like in a music video you have to act much, but I guess like even just like walking down an aisle or trying to act natural and yeah, it was interesting, an interesting experience, but it was so much fun. I think we did it in 2 days, just over a weekend. Yeah, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, it was awesome. Great experience.
You talked about like kind of being on a road trip. Do you think that those would be kind of your positions on a road trip, like Tyler driving, you know, you got to have the passenger doing the aux and the, you know, the maps. Do you think that that's how you would, you'd have the layout on a road trip?
Well, I'd say I'm probably the worst driver. So I don't know.
I don't know, really?
If they would want me to be in the driver's seat, but I think Braxton on the aux would probably be a good choice. I'd be happy with that. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Callum would probably be driving just so we're safe, you know. Yeah. And then Braxton and I both bad at directions. So it's kind of a bit of a recipe for disaster, really. If it was a real road trip, we probably wouldn't have made it to those locations.
That song Butterfly, what's that all about?
When I was writing it, I kind of created like a scenario in my head. I feel like when I write, I usually come up with characters, and like it's not really based on my experiences, more just like I kind of think of characters like it's a movie or something. And I think what I was thinking in that situation was that the main character had a partner that I guess they have a lot of trust in, and they like trust them to go out and like be free and do what they want, but they know they're always like going to be theirs at the end, like they have each other. And I just know I've like seen some relationships where it's very controlling, and like they don't let the other partner go out and like go clubbing or go out with their friends. It's kind of like, I always have to be there. Or, and I thought that was kind of messed up a little bit. So I just wanted to write about that trust in someone and like having that really sort of good relationship with someone. And, yeah, I think that's kind of how the song turned out.
And it turned out so well. Again, that's how I discovered, you three as a band. And I love that song. I have a question for Calum. You know, I know that you wrote the song sober, but you didn't actually sing that song. What is that like to write such a personal song but not sing on it? Is that hard to kind of let it go in a way, or does it feel refreshing to have someone else put out your, you know, your words to the world for you?
I think it's kind of refreshing in a lot of ways. There's been a few songs where I've written it and the way that Tyler sings it almost changes it in a good way. I feel I've got a lower register in the way I sing things. So, and Tyler sings a little bit higher than I do. So sometimes I'll sing a song and the way he sings it, you know, that's not how I sing it, but I really like what you've done there. That's actually sounds really, really cool. But yeah, no, I wouldn't say I don't struggle to let go of it. It's definitely, I don't know what the word is for it. A bit strange sometimes because you forget that. I'd say you almost forget that you've written it sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't struggle to let go of it or anything like that. But like Tyler was saying, the way he comes up with characters, and that's his form of songwriting. Mine's definitely a lot more personal. But I think that everyone's different the way they write songs. Some people naturally come out with personal lyrics and they don't mean to. Some people don't have that ability to sort of reflect in the personal crisis in their life and stuff, so they prefer to just come up with a scenario that helps them.
I would just add as well, like it's interesting because a lot of those songs like Sober and Somebody Like You, like Callum would make the demo first and he would sing on it, and then even though like I sing the track at the end of the day, I feel like there's a lot of the inflections and the way Callum was singing it in the original demo that I kind of replicate a little bit, like almost just accidentally. So kind of like bits of Callum kind of come through in a way as well. So it's kind of interesting how that happens.
I can add to that as well. So like when we did Sober, I remember him recording the final vocals for it, and the chorus when you go "for you," he would sing "for," like "or," that really enunciate the "or," like "for you," and it was mm-hmm. sort of like you almost have to pronounce it like it's "fur," like a fur coat, like "for you" sort of thing. Just and the little inflections, like you said, change when you different singers and stuff like that.
Braxton, I know that you sing on some of the tracks as well. When did you realize that you could sing?
I was probably like a little kid and I sung this like Guy Sebastian song to my mom and she started crying. I took it as a good thing because I was a kid, and I was pretty ignorant, so I was like, oh cool, she's, you know, she's crying, I think that's a good thing. But yeah, I don't know. She hasn't, my mom hasn't really come seen Dace perform yet. She lives in New Zealand, so I will ask her about that, whether she was crying is a good thing or not. But that was probably the first time I realized that, wow, maybe singing is for me, you know. So
wow, yeah, it was good. Yeah, she'll have to come to an upcoming show or one of the festivals that you're playing at. Oh, and you see if it elicits the same response, right?
Oh yeah, I don't know. I mean, I have, oh yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about making people cry with my voice. Hey, if it's a good thing, like, wow, that really hit, man. Like, I'm like,
yeah,
oh, you know, bring it in. Come on. Like, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're crying like, oh, that sounds really bad. Like, it's hurt my ears. So yeah, I don't know. Guess so. Yeah, I've never had the chance to ask, but take it as a good thing. Yeah.
It makes me think, you know, like for all three of you, how is it, like, how have your parents responded to, you know, your music getting more attention? Like I said, 20 million streams across the platforms. And like, have your parents reacted in a way that they're like, wow, this is really working out? Or do they not fully grasp what's going on with the music that you're putting out?
I'll keep mine short. So like at the start, my parents weren't so supportive, but now that it's growing, they can see that, oh, this is a good thing. So, yeah, at the start they were a bit, ooh, I don't know. And then now they've seen like all the great things that come from it, and they're like, wow, that's really awesome. Like, proud of you, Brax. That's cool.
Oh
yeah. I'd say I'm very similar. I was in bands before this, and yeah, their parents are like sort of not too keen on the whole making music your career, because obviously financially it's a big risk. But I think as things grow, and I think even the music we were making, like my dad specifically likes a few of our, not all of our songs, he said, but there's a few there that, you know, he's got on his playlists and stuff because he really likes those songs. But I think a lot of our influences come from your parents.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. they probably hear that in some of the songs, and then, yeah, the numbers doing really good is also helpful for them being supportive in that. But yeah, it's come to a point now where my parents are very supportive and very invested in what we do.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know, because my dad was a musician as well, like back in the day. He's 60 now, so was a while ago, I think. But he, I guess, like at the start, obviously just happy to see that a couple of young kids making music. But I think it's different for him because, like, with the whole streaming world and Spotify and Apple Music and that sort of thing, it's like a very different than selling CDs. And I guess maybe hard for them to grasp like what we're actually doing. But I think through Dace, and like he's got a Spotify subscription now, so he can like follow along and listen. So I think, yeah, they're kind of very happy and very supportive. But yeah, for sure, it's good.
So Tyler, how would you describe your vocal identity? Because I know that you've talked about struggling with whether to sing in like an American accent or an Australian accent. So how have you kind of worked on that and come to where you're at now with your voice?
Yeah, I guess still it was like a struggle just trying to figure out like if I should do it one way or the other, like completely, like if I should sing in an American accent for everything or if I should sing in an Australian accent for everything, because obviously there's a lot of singers in the UK and Australia and other countries that put the American accent on just because it's so prevalent in music that they hear. But I think I started to use it to like my advantage a bit more in terms of like, maybe if there's a word like can't, like maybe it sounds better saying it like can't, or maybe it sounds better saying like can't. So yeah, I guess it's kind of cool because you kind of have like two options sometimes to rhyme with. So I just switch it up depending on like the context.
I think you've really found a good mix and a nice vocal range with the songs that you're on. Does it bother you three when people call you a boy band?
Not really. I don't know. I haven't really experienced anyone calling us a boy band.
If we can be up there with like the Backstreet Boys and One Direction and stuff, like that's fine with me. Yeah. 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 Exactly. It's cool.
Do you have the moves?
No,
definitely not. Braxton kind of has some moves, but
yeah.
Braxton has a few up his sleeve. Yeah.
Do you want to demonstrate for us? Oh, wow. Okay. Oh.
Come on.
So some of your sound I find is pretty similar to the UK indie band Hawn. Honne. I interviewed them a couple years ago, and great guys. And I asked them a question that I want to ask you as well. You know, their music is kind of baby making music, some people may say. And, you know, how does it make you feel that maybe some of your music is similar and people may be getting down and dirty to your music?
Yeah, that's interesting, because I have heard that from people. Like, they just say that to my face, like, oh, like, you know, the other night, like, me and my partner kind of got down really? And dirty to I think Palette was the song in this when this person was telling me. But I don't know, it's kind of, it's flattering obviously, but then you kind of just think, like, feels like you're kind of there for it as well, because like your voice is kind of just like, you know, commentating it a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's good. Yeah, why not, like, go for it as far as I'm concerned. It's great.
Yeah, when Here With Me was released, I got a lot of that, especially from like, not like my friends, it was like older, like my parents' friends, which was weird. It was like, oh
yeah,
great, I didn't know you guys were still doing that, that's awesome, good on you. But yeah, it's like, once again, it's like refreshing, you know, that it like sparks sort of that emotion in people. And you know, sex sells in any industry, and in music it definitely sells a lot. So I guess, yeah, it kind of just shows us that we're on the right track, that people, that sparks that emotion in them when they listen to our songs. So yeah, it's a good thing, it's a good feeling.
I got that vibe from Telephone. I feel like,
ooh,
yeah, I don't know, I feel like it's a sexy song. No.
No, yeah, yeah, I agree for sure.
Ooh, la, la, I'm thinking, when you talk, I wanna hear my name.
Just a quick break. I'd like to thank everyone for listening or watching this episode, and ask that you support the podcast by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, following on Spotify, leaving a review, subscribing on YouTube, following us on social media. The username is Here to Listen Pod. That's H-E-A-R, Here to Listen Pod, P-O-D. Now back to the show. What's your favorite song as a band?
Oh, I like them all, like, for all different reasons. Hey, like, they all have a shining moment within each song, and it's like,
don't cop out, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna have to say, like, I'd say Overload was like a good song to work on, and like just a good song to sort of like release out there as well. It was fun sort of like writing it and bringing it together, and then once it goes into Palette, it was just like, oh, there's more. So yeah, for me, I'd say like Overload is a big favorite up there. It was also sort of like the start of the end for our first EP. So I feel like that's going to like foreshadow a lot of like, I guess, like future projects of Dace. I don't know. It's just, I think Overload's a real special track for me.
Yes. I would say that mine changes. I don't have one that I've just had the whole time. It definitely changes. Like, sometimes it'll be the ones I've had very little to do with, because it's like this moment where you're like, wow, I can't believe that we wrote this. Like, you would get to enjoy it a bit more. I think when it's your own, you critique it a little bit more. Yeah. So Here With Me is a big one that I'd listen to over and over and over. But I was happy to listen to it over and over and over, because I didn't write it, so it didn't feel weird. I was just like admiring these two almost. But Telephone's one that consistently I really, really do like. I think it's something that's very different. You know, and I like to see that it's actually doing quite well at the moment, which is testament to, you know, always do something different or try something new or experimental. And I think people resonate with just making music that you want to make.
I think my personal favorite, as Braxton was saying, you know, I love them all, obviously. Love all of our children, but it has to be a favorite. But I think Expectations was like one that I was like really happy with from the start when it was like a demo. I just kind of like see how far it could go in terms of like what we could add to it. And like, funnily enough, I feel like when I was writing that, I was pretty inspired by another artist called Akure, and he's actually the artist that we got to collab on the track with us. And I think when he sent back the, like, his verse, after we'd like had most of the song finished and we just had like a blank verse for another artist, and we sent it to him and he sent his verse back, and like, it was just like straight away, I think we were all just like, oh, that's it, like, he's done it. And it was a cool moment to like be inspired by someone and then have them sort of like come into that track that you've made.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd say expectations.
One of my favorite songs is Either Way. I also love that song. And there's a lyric in there that I really love. It's all right. It's okay. The sun will rise either way. Can you talk a little bit more about the, you know, the approach to that song specifically that all three of you actually co-wrote?
Yeah, and an artist from Sydney, her name is, I'll probably pronounce this right, I think it's Maina Doe. She was a really cool artist that we wrote that song with down in Sydney. We had an apartment and we just transformed into a studio. I think we were playing a show and then we stayed an extra 2 days and we had two sessions with two Sydney artists, and she was the second day. And she was awesome. She, that second verse that you hear is actually her writing that Tyler's sung. And I don't think we really came up, I think as the lyrics progressed, we sort of really started to understand what kind of song we were writing. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a matter of, oh, we want to write a song about turning a new page to a new day. I think Tyler had sort of started that first verse, and then as that first verse started, you start to think, okay, what are we going to do in the second verse? What are we going to do in the bridge? And you start to identify traits in the first verse that we can turn into a meaning of the song. So yeah, I think from that, once we had that, then we started to work on the lyrics. I think the lyric that follows in the bridge after that is Other Side, what kind of day I'll have waiting for me. Mm-hmm. So just about, you know, choosing what you're going to do about the next day and how you're going to approach it. So yeah, she definitely had a big part in helping us find that meaning within the lyrics that we had already.
Yeah, either way is it's a very special track within Dusk and Dawn album, because it was sort of the first track we made to sort of lead into that whole project. So a lot of
set the tone.
Yeah 100%, it definitely did set the tone, and yeah, pretty much made the whole theme and concept of the album. And it's a very special track. So yeah, a lot of the lyrics in there pretty much just sums up the project as a whole. And yeah, that lyric is definitely the motto of it all, I guess. Hey, the sun will rise either way. Like, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. Like, it's just, yeah, a new day every day.
Also, I feel like that one is a cool one as well, because I feel like there's a lot of the songs we have where like one of us will start it and then we'll kind of finish it together. But that was one of the ones where we were all in the room together and we started from scratch together. It's like one of those special ones. Yeah.
That must be such like a magical moment to collaborate with one another and really see it through. I feel like you three must have become so close, like almost like brothers in a way.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure. We fight like brothers as well.
That's part of it, right? It happens. Yeah. What song would be your least favorite to perform?
Ooh, I don't know. Yeah, I think we used to play a song called Myself from our first EP. I think it's a cool song. I think personally for me, it's just like a very low vocal range that was kind of just like just a bit annoying to sing, I would say. Like, I could do it, but it's just like whenever it was coming up in the set, I'd be like, oh, here we go, like, come on. So we took that one out a while ago, but we've actually been talking about bringing it back now, so maybe things will change. You guys have it's been a few years, so maybe the opinion will change, but I'd say that was probably it. Yeah. I don't think, like, I know a lot of artists like have their big song that they kind of hate playing, like their most popular song. I guess that's Sober for us, but I feel like we're not sick of Sober. Yeah, we love playing Sober still, but maybe in a few years we'll be sick of it. I don't know. Yeah.
And would you two agree?
I would say, yeah, I'd agree with the song choice about being the least favorite to play live. But I'd also say they've got a lot of songs that we don't get a chance to play live because they don't necessarily translate to a live setting very well. Our music's pretty diverse. Like you said, you got like baby making music, but then you've also got upbeat groovy songs like Sober. So when you go to play a set, you can't really mix them all in because the vibe is so different and you sort of have the energy go up and down. So we sort of have to choose what songs we're going to play based on the context of the show. You know, if it's like a sofa sound sort of gig where everyone's sitting down, it gives us a chance to play those slower, moodier songs. But
yeah,
recently the last show we played, we decided let's just play everything that's upbeat, and the energy of the show just was so consistent. We really enjoyed that. But for example, the last song of the Dusk and Dawn album, I call it Sunshowers because that's what the demo was, but then we changed the name to Dawn. We haven't played live just because it's so different and you just wouldn't be able to fit it in there in most contexts. So that's always difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I definitely on the same note as Tyler with myself. It was a difficult song to sing because I guess like I followed him a lot in that song and we sung together, and if he wasn't feeling comfortable, then like, I definitely wasn't comfortable with it. And
yeah,
there's a lot of layers to that song. So like it went into a lot of different sections, and it was like fun to play like in a certain moment, but like it's, yeah, it was easy to be like, yeah, let's give it the boot. So yeah, it was, yeah, definitely myself. It's yeah, 100%.
But now it may be making a comeback, it sounds like.
Yeah, maybe.
Or maybe.
Maybe.
Ending. We'll have to see. Is there any misconceptions about the three of you or about the band in general?
I don't really know. No one's really told us what's wrong with us yet.
Not what's wrong with us, but like gotten the wrong idea.
You're gonna be the first one.
I don't have any misconceptions.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll hand this over.
Tricky question.
I feel like because of our social, we're not the best for social media. We always beating ourselves up for it because we want to be able to post more and be like that. So I think that we come across on social media, which I guess is in these days is your identity, especially when you sort of the world is just so connected with it, because we don't post much on there. I wouldn't even say we post much on our individual social media accounts either. So we come across quite recluse, maybe even shy. But I think when artists that, you know, collaborate with us and get a chance to meet us, they probably realize we're quite actually very fun and very interactive, and you know, they have a good laugh with us. But I guess on our social media we probably come across quite serious a lot of the time, and like even if press comes out, all our photos will just be like silent, like, you know, very serious, no smiling. And we're trying to change that a little bit too, because yeah, that's probably something people misconceive about us as being quite serious, and we're actually pretty funny guys, I would say.
Yeah,
I think so.
I think so too. I think the three of you are a blast.
Yeah, definitely. That was what Callum said is exactly what I was gonna say. It's like, yeah, I think we do come across as quite serious, but we are like pretty silly and fun. But yeah, I think that is a good like piece of negative feedback that we've gotten in the past, is like, I don't know, my mom, I feel like, and like other people have been like, why are you so serious in the press photos? Like, why don't you guys have a bit of fun? Just like smile a little bit. It's like, yeah.
The video got us smiling a little bit more. Like you said, it's a fun summary video. We got a chance to, it's not a photo. So a photo can tell 1,000 words. So when you're in a video context or, you know, interacting with each other, smiling, dancing, and people saw a different side to us. So that was good for the video. I think we'll probably do that more with future videos.
I'm wondering what's next for Deist.
So we're working on a song at the moment that we've been workshopping for quite a while. Sort of life makes it a bit tough to sort of meet up as much as we would have when we were in uni and things like that, when we'd be meeting up 3-4 times a week, doing as much as we can, but life is what it is. So working a little bit more makes it a bit of a struggle to meet up. So we've been workshopping this song for quite a while that we want to release soon, which is exciting. But we've just got so much in the catalog that it's just after that a matter of just picking one that we're going to put out after that. And yeah, I think the way the music industry is going, it's become more of a singles based industry where we're sort of a bit skeptical about putting out bodies of work, because we feel like a lot of songs go under the radar that maybe would have deserved a little bit more attention, because when you put out a body of work with the way that playlists and things work, yeah, it's just like, oh, I know people would have really liked that song if we got the chance to put it out as a single and give it a little bit more attention. So I think that we'll be going forward and just putting out singles for a bit of a time going forward. And then live music after the tour last year, I think we were just so exhausted because putting a tour together is it's a lot of work. It's a lot of pressure, yeah. You know, with ticket sales and organizing artists to come and support you, the logistics of traveling, because we travel with five people because we've got a drummer and a keyboard player that come with us. So we're just looking forward to getting involved as many festivals and support acts as possible, because it just gives us a chance to enjoy the live shows without the pressure. So yeah, that's what life moving forward is for Dace at the moment.
I'm excited to hear the new music and to see what's next. So my final question is something that I ask all the people that I interview, and I'd love to get an answer from each of you. And that is, if you were to have an autobiography or a movie made about your life specifically, what would the title be?
Tyler Harden, the movie.
Yeah, I struggle with that as well. I'm just thinking of a lot of lyrics. I actually did something the other day where I was just looking through some of our songs just as lyrics, and sort of you can look at song lyrics as poetry sometimes and pick out little parts of it. So one that I've stuck with me quite heavily is Picture the World at Your Feet. The lyric from Palette that I really like. I think that your journey in life comes up to your choices and you sculpt the path you want to take. So I would take that lyric and turn that into a movie title for myself.
Wow. Quite poetic. I like that.
Yeah, I was definitely just thinking of that lyric, like when you asked that question, but it was shortened, like Picture the World, Deist. So I thought, when we first started, like the red, yellow, blue was like, the primary colors was like a big thing for us. And like each of our first singles that we released were like emphasizing those colors. So, you use like, I guess, colors to picture anything really. So yeah, I guess Deist, Picture the World would be a pretty cool title.
If it was a movie about the three of us and summarized, I think that one we've always kept with is The Music Is Yours to Keep.
Yeah.
Which goes back to what you said earlier about people relating to our music. I think that the music is yours. And I think that, you know, if you find inspiration or the music we make mirrors your life and helps you, I think that we've always sort of said that the music is yours to keep. And if it helps you, you know, keep it in the back pocket and bring it out in times of life when you need it. So, yeah.
What a great way to end things off. I think that the music is, you know, it is, it's helping a lot of people, I'm sure. And it's nice that there's the different emotions across the different songs that you've made, right? There's really a song for everything that someone may be going through. And I expect big things from you three. I really think you guys are going to blow up, and I'm excited to see what's next, because you have a great sound and the three of you are really talented. So thank you for joining me today on the Here to Listen podcast. And
thank you.
I hope everyone checks you out and discovers your music if they haven't already.
Thanks, Ryan. I honestly got to say, this is probably one of the best interviews we've ever done. You seem to have really done your research, which is always pretty, yeah, I admire that. So thank you, man. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.